50 years ago tomorrow, James Watson and Francis Crick revealed the structure of DNA, the molecule that codes instructions for life. Since then, the deciphering of DNA has transformed fields from medicine to forensics to anthropology. As part of our anniversary coverage of the start of the genetics revolution, NPR's David Barron reports on how Watson and Crick's discovery has altered the way scientists look for the origins of humankind.
Half a century ago, researchers studying our early ancestors worked with a pick and a trowel, digging in the dusty ground for the odd bone or stone tool. Today, they're just as likely to work in a genetics laboratory, probing the DNA of living people for relics of our past.
You can almost think of these as genetic fossils. They're fossils in our genome that we are trying to identify and to use to reconstruct history.
Sarah Tishkoff is a molecular anthropologist. In her lab at the University of Maryland, behind the sliding glass doors of what looks like a deli fridge, she keeps a genetic storehouse, DNA that she and her colleagues have collected, with permission, from hundreds of people across Africa.
This is a box from an ethnic group called Basange. They live in Cameroon. This is another random box that I grabbed, and they're from Yoruba population from Nigeria.
The boxes contain translucent plastic vials that hold white blood cells.
You can actually see, if you look here, do you see the white clumps in the bottom there?
It's basically just a clear liquid with a tiny little pellet in the bottom.
With a pellet in the bottom. And the pellet is where all the DNA is.
DNA is passed from parent to child to grandchild, and with each generation it becomes slightly modified, like an epic tale retold and retold. Tishkoff and other molecular anthropologists search for the tiny changes that accumulate over time. They can be used to reconstruct our species' family tree.
This is something that involves now many, many people, a very substantial number of laboratories. It's been a complete revolution.
Clark Howell, an emeritus professor at Berkeley, was just beginning studies of human fossils in 1953 when the structure of DNA was discovered. He says among the things scientists have learned by studying DNA, humans and chimpanzees, our closest relatives, shared a common ancestor a mere 5 million years ago, far more recently than previously thought. About 200,000 years ago, humans acquired a gene that's critical for speech. And Africa is the origin not only of our ancient ape-like ancestors, but also modern humans like us.
And maybe the very origin of if you wish, the equivalent of Adam and Eve.
Genetic studies have found that everyone on Earth can be traced back to a single man and single woman who lived perhaps 150,000 years ago. Unlike the biblical Adam and Eve, they almost certainly did not exist at precisely the same time, but this man, dubbed Y chromosome Adam, passed down his male sex chromosome to every man and boy alive today. Similarly, the ancestral woman, called mitochondrial Eve, passed down the DNA found in the mitochondria, or energy centers of the cells, in every living person. Again, the University of Maryland's Sarah Tishkoff.
The implications of that are that all modern humans share a very recent common ancestor, and this ancestor resided in Africa, and that genetically, therefore, we're all very similar.
She's now trying to track down precisely where in the vastness of Africa mitochondrial Eve lived. Tishkoff has been studying the DNA she collected in modern people across that continent. Using sophisticated machinery, she can read the genetic code, written in a language of four chemical letters.
So this sequence, for example, is C, T, A, C, A, G, T.
What she's discovered and announced today at a meeting in Arizona is that the people so far found with the oldest mitochondrial DNA, meaning they're closest to the root of the human family tree, come from Tanzania.
So that might be the location where mitochondrial Eve originated.
If so, then scientists will want to know, what was it about the ancient East African people and the way they lived that gave them an evolutionary edge over other early humans that died out? Here is where the genetic work, for all its power, has limitations, says anthropologist Svante Paabo of Germany's Max Planck Institute.
We will never be able to say, from looking at genes, when our ancestors started using fire or started making more sophisticated tools or so on. So this genetic approach, of course, does not make classical paleontology obsolete.
The old-style science, however, has begun to merge with the new. Researchers digging up fossils have found that some of the bones contain trace amounts of ancient DNA, and geneticists have begun to read it. David Barron, NPR News, Washington.
Tomorrow on National DNA Day, a report on the exquisite computer in every living cell. NPR's complete coverage of the 50th anniversary of Watson and Crick's famous paper on DNA is on our website, npr.org.